Good morning, everyone, and thanks for coming to my talk. So next, I'm going to talk about our work, Be Conservative, Enhancing Failure Diagnosis with Proactive Logging, where it describes how a simple idea can cut down your diagnosis time by more than half. And this is a collaboration with seven other colleagues from UC San Diego. So when software fails in the production environment, debugging is hard. And one of the main reasons is that such production failures are often very hard to reproduce. That's first, due to privacy concerns, customers are often reluctant to release their input that triggered the failure. And also, it is forbiddingly expensive for the vendors to recreate the same execution environment as in the production setting. Then how do vendors debug these production failures? Well, they rely on log messages, such as printf. So such log messages are considered far less sensitive, and the customers today are often willing to share them with the vendors. So for example, large vendors, including EMC, NetApp, Cisco, and Dell, are collecting logs from over 50% of their customers. And according to a recent Sense survey, 99% of the organizations are collecting logs or plan to collect logs from their customers. Then once these logs are collected, they are very beneficial to diagnose the failure. To quantitatively measure such benefit, we studied the diagnosis time of hundreds of user-reported failures. And we found that the presence of log message can effectively cut the diagnosis time by more than half. Now let's look at a real-world example to see the benefit of logging. Now in this case, the user of the Apache web server tried to start it, but it found that it failed to start and printed the following log message. Could not open a group file, no such file or directory. Now given this log message, the user can immediately find a typo in the path name and fix it in the configuration file. And such diagnosis is so trivial. But what if there's no such log message printed? And in fact, this log message wasn't there since the beginning. It was added as an afterthought. So the user of an older version of Apache server encountered the exact same misconfiguration, but he found that Apache printed nothing. So he had to report this failure to the developers, and developers spent a lot of time to diagnose it before realizing it's a user misconfiguration. And in this case, when Apache detected the file open error, it decided to terminate the execution, but they forgot to log this simple error. Later, only after learning from this lesson, they checked in a patch whose only purpose is to add this log message. But clearly, this log message is reactive to the failure instead of proactive. Now let's look at another real-world example from the Squid web cache. And in this case, the user reported that from time to time, the number of available file descriptors dropped down to nearly zero. But again, there was no log message printed. And since the developers cannot reproduce the failure, they have to collect a lot of user information. And in the end, it resulted 45 of such message exchanges between the user and the developers before the failure is diagnosed. But the root cause is quite simple, that when Squid web cache encounters a DNS lookup error, they did not handle it properly. But also the developers did not bother to log this error. And later, in addition to fix the bug, they have added another log message to just document this DNS error. But again, this log message is reactive. So what we have seen so far from these two examples is that developers miss some obvious logging opportunities, which will unnecessarily increase their post-mortem debugging time. And as an analogy, Debugging a production failure without log messages is like solving a crime case without evidence. But how many real-world cases are like this? Are we just cherry-picking some examples? And where are the other places that should be logged? And our work is exactly to answer these questions. First, through a characteristics study, we provide quantitative evidences to show that in real world, there are indeed many of such obvious logging opportunities that miss the log message. And we further categorize them into a small set of generic patterns. And then we develop a tool called Erlog to automate such logging. That given the original program, Erlog will analyze it and modifies it to add the appropriate log message. And this modified source code can be compiled and released to the production failure to provide better logging. So in the rest of my talk, I'll first talk about our characteristic study on the logging efficacy, and then I'll describe how do we automate this problem by Erlog and its evaluation result. And finally, I'll conclude. So the goal of our study is to simply answer two questions. The first is that do real-world failures print log messages? Well, if majority of them already print a log message, then this problem is not as significant. And the second question is where to log. Well, asking these two questions is simple, answering them is not. So to drive our study, we had randomly sampled 250 real-world user-reported failures from the bug tracking databases of these five widely used open source software projects. And to diagnose each failure, we have carefully studied their discussion and code and patch, and we also reproduced those reproducible ones. This entire study took 4 months of time. Now let's look at how many of the failures print log messages. But we found that there are only 43% of the failures print error messages. And this means that under the default production setting, where only the error log is enabled, more than half of these failures will fail silently. But in contrast, we also found that the majority of these failures, or 77%, they do have easy-to-log opportunities. And we further break them down into 7 patterns. So the most common pattern is the function return error, especially those from the system call and the libc. Now the Apache misconfiguration example we have seen earlier belonged to such a case, that the developers did not log the error return of an open system call, which resulted cost them unnecessary user complaint and debugging efforts. But in contrast, we found that there's a good programming practice in SVN that can systematically log all of their function return errors. That most of the functions in SVN are called through this macro, SVN underscore ERR, which first performs the function call and check the return error, return value. And if the return value is not null, which indicates an error, it will further propagate to the caller. So later, if the callee function detects an error and the return an error message, then this SVN underscore ERR will propagate this error return all the way to the top of the call chain. So the developers only need to check the error return in the main function and print a log message. So as a consequence, all of the function return errors we studied in SVN have an error message, and they significantly reduce their error debugging time. Well, another pattern is that when programs cause abort or other functions to terminate the execution abnormally, not all of them are logged. In this real-world example, there was a bug in SVN that triggered this abort call, but there was no log messages. And due to privacy concerns, user did not release their core dump, so developers had to spend a lot of time to diagnose it. And what is interesting is that after they fixed the bug, they checked in a patch whose only purpose is to replace old abort call with another function call, with before calling abort, just print an error message. And in the message that they described this patch, developers said, "I really hate abort calls. instead of getting a usable core dump, I often get nothing. So besides function return error and an abnormal exit, there are five other patterns that are described in detail in our paper. And these patterns are, in fact, just generic program exceptions where developers could have checked and logged. And if they have done so, the majority of the failures could have an error message. Now I've shown you a lot of examples. Let's look from a more abstract perspective to see why it's a good idea to log these exceptions. Let's bring up the classic failure model, where a failure occurs because there's a fault, which is a root cause, such as a bug and a misconfiguration. And once it's triggered at runtime, it will propagate into an error, where the system starts to misbehave. And if the error is not handled properly, they will further propagate into a failure, where it affects the user. Now, the goal of diagnosis is to locate where the fault is. Then speaking of logging, the natural question is, can we just log the fault? While ideally desirable, this is not practical because we do not know where the fault is. Instead of logging the bug, we should just have fixed it. And in comparison, a more practical approach is to log the errors, where first, they are highly relevant to the failures, so they will often provide some valuable clues. And also, logging them shouldn't incur too much overhead, because by definition, they shouldn't occur during the normal execution. Now let's further zoom into this model to understand why the developers missed so many logging. First, we found that in our sampled failures, more than half of them, the developers already detected the error. But a lot of them are not logged. And we found the majority of these cases are from the fact that developers decided to handle the error. And then perhaps they optimistically think that their error handling would work and just did not bother to log. But from the previous talk, we have learned that the error handling code are frequently buggy. So our implication is that it is worthwhile to conservatively log those errors even if there's error handling code. And for the other cases, the developers simply decide to give up the execution, and they will clearly lead to a failure. But again, not all of them are logged. And for the remaining cases, there is simply no error checking code, so none of them have a log message. However, we also found that 41% of them, their error condition could have been checked and logged by checking one of the previous mentioned generic error patterns. So now we have seen that developers miss so many logging opportunities. And the next question is how can we automate such logging by a tool called Erlog? So to use Erlog, the developers only need to tell it where is the source code and what is the name of the default logging function. And then Erlog will analyze the source code to first identify where is the exception, and then check if the exception is logged or not. And for those not logged exceptions, we will insert our own logging statement. And you can imagine Erlog can also be used as a plug-in to your IDE or as a check-in policy. Now to identify the exceptions, we first mechanically search for those generic exception patterns found in our empirical study. For example, we will search for all the system call return errors. But not all the exceptions, they are generic. Some of them are domain specific, and Erlog also wants to capture them. And this is based on simple intuition that if a condition is frequently followed by an error message, then it is likely an error condition. And later, if we found that there such condition is not followed by a log message, we will insert our own logging. And then Erlog will check whether the condition is logged or not. And for those not logged conditions, we will insert our own logging library. And this each log statement will contain a unique log ID, a global counter that orders all the printed log messages, the call stack, and the variable values. So the call stack and the variable values are identified using our previous tool called Log Enhancer. But not all of the error conditions identified in this way is a true error condition. For example, developers might intentionally use the error return of a stat system call to verify the non-existence of a file. And if such conditions appear frequently at runtime, our additional logging will introduce overhead. So to minimize such overhead, we borrow the idea of adaptive sampling with the intuition that the more frequently an error condition occurs, the less likely it is a true error. So instead of logging every dynamic occurrences, we will only log the 2 to the power of n dynamic occurrences. But how well does Erlog work? To evaluate Erlog, we have applied it on 10 software systems, and 5 of them are new ones that we did not use in our characteristics study. And first, we found that Erlog can insert additional log messages, and on average, it will increase the number of log printing statements by 60%. And these additional log messages will be very beneficial to reduce the number of silent failures. So among all the sampled failures which did not print a log message, we found Erlog can reduce the number of silent failures by 65%. And for the remaining cases, they have very subtle error conditions that cannot be mechanically checked. And for example, a wrong variable value manifests into a wrong output. And to further evaluate Erlog, we compare it with the manual logging effort. So in the 10 software packages we studied, there are already over 16,000 of existing logging statements added manually by the developers. And we have seen that many of them are added as an afterthought. So these log messages provide a good objective baseline for us to compare with. So first, in the 5 software we studied, we found that on average, Erlog can automatically identify 83% of them. This indicates that Erlog largely matches the manual logging intuition. And we further found that in the new software that we did not use in our study, we have roughly the same number of coverage. And this indicates that our findings is not only limited to the software we studied. But since not our exception identification is not 100% accurate, we might introduce some additional overhead during the normal execution. And on average, we found Erlog as 1.4% of performance overhead during normal execution. And even in the worst case, the overhead is under 5%. So to further evaluate the effectiveness of Erlog, we did a user study that we asked 20 programmers from UC San Diego to debug 5 real-world failures. So for each failure, we have randomly selected 10 of the programmers to debug the original version where there was no log message printed. And the other 10 programmers will debug with Erlog, where Erlog added some log message. And some of the failures are reproducible. And we further allow the users to use whatever tools they want, including GDB. So on average, we found Erlog can effectively reduce the diagnosis time by 61%. And in particular, in the Apache misconfiguration example that we have shown earlier, it achieves the maximum time reduction. So this failure is caused by a typo in the configuration file. And the user without log messages, many of them did not even realize it's a misconfiguration. And they started to use GDB to debug the code. But the users in the other control group, where they are provided the log message, can quickly nail down the typo in the misconfiguration file, in the configuration file. And from the feedback of the users, all of them confirmed the usefulness of Erlog. And for example, one of the users said, "The added log messages are in particular helpful for debugging complex systems or unfamiliar code where it required a great deal of time in isolating the buggy code path." So Erlog also have some limitations. First, our study result might not be representative since we only studied 5 software projects and all of them are written in C and C++. And also, we have shown that not all the failures can benefit from Erlang. That, for example, there are still 35% of the silent failures will remain silent. And finally, the semantic of the automatically generated log messages is not as good as those manually written ones. So there are a great number of great related work, and we have detailed discussion in our paper. And what is unique about this paper is that we address the problem of logging those silent failures. And together with this work, we will, and it is complement to this work, and we will enhance the debugging of the production failures. So to conclude, we found that despite the importance of log messages, there are many obvious exceptions in the real world are not logged. And as a result, they will significantly increase the debugging time. And it is worthwhile to carefully write the error checking code and conservatively log those detected errors, even when they are handled. And we further developed a tool called Erlog to automate such logging. And through a user study, we showed that Erlog can effectively reduce the diagnosis time while adding only 1.4% of performance overhead. Now, finally, I will put up some quotations for you to read. And with that, I want to thank for your attention.
Saurabh Bakshi, Purdue University. So reading your paper, it seems like you turned on the verbosity option when you were running these pieces of software. So I think it's fair that in production runs, you do turn that off. But for some of the failures which are reproducible, I was wondering if you turn on the verbosity option, how many of these failed silent failures would actually show up in your logs?
Right. Sure. You are exactly right that indeed in production environment, the verbosity level is often turned off because of overhead concerns. And we did evaluate that if you turn that on, the overhead can be 90%. Okay. So, but as you said, in those reproducible failures, we also found that developers sometimes will ask the user to turn on that verbosity mode. But this action itself is undesirable because it involves another round of user involvement, that they need to ask user to reproduce the failure. Okay? And further, that even if turned on the verbosity level, sure, they will provide some log messages. But the useful of those debug messages, whether they are useful or not, is questionable, because they mainly log the normal execution. But what we are proposing here is to log those error cases, which usually give you a first-hand clue of what is relevant to the failure.
Hi, Carl Waltzberger. This seems like a useful tool, but I'm kind of left wondering how far you could get without requiring access to source code. For example, using preload library dynamic linking tricks to interpose on system calls and libc calls and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So we really didn't evaluate that and consider that in the design of this tool. But I think some of these error conditions, they are pretty simple. And maybe by analyzing binary can also give you some hint, such as system calls, especially if you have some symbol information in your binaries. But there are some additional checks, for example, whether this exception is already logged or not. And those require some deeper static analysis. And the effectiveness of analyzing them on the binary may be not as effective.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Margot Seltzer from Harvard University. This is fabulous work, and I love the detail and the completion of going through and talking to users again.
Thank you.
But it seems to me that as one of the academics in the room and people who teach people how to program, that one of the messages we should really be taking away is to teach people to actually do a better job when they create code of leaving good messages and log messages.
Right. I think that's a great comment.
Hi, Alex Legg from Nictor and UNSW. Often when you're debugging, having too many log messages can be a problem as well. So I'm wondering if you've evaluated whether your tool can ever add too many log messages.
Yes. Indeed, you're right that sometimes too many log messages is not necessarily beneficial. But first, in reality, here's the real-world scenario we found, that in all those software, that in the default production environments, there are more than half of the failures, they just fail silently. So if we are considering the scenario where either you have nothing, debugging in the dark, and you cannot reproduce the failure, versus you have some evidences, I would say in that scenario, probably having some evidences is still better. And secondly, the problem you mentioned of there are too many noisy messages. And those messages, in my experience, majority of them are like debug mode messages. But here, our goal is to add error messages, so not those ones during the normal execution. And sure, as we have shown that some of these messages, they could be false positive, that they might still occur frequently during normal execution. But when we use our adaptive sampling, we can also record the frequency of such log messages during the runtime. So later when we present these log messages to the users, we'll rank them in the reverse order of their runtime frequencies. So the user can focus on those rarely occurred ones and ignore those highly occurred ones. And finally, if you're really interested, that we have published a previous paper called Sherlock in S+ 2010 to solve the problem, how do you correlate a large amount of log messages to reconstruct the execution path.
Jeff Canning, Harvey Mudd College. Following up on Margot's comment, I found that it's not always useful to whip programmers upside the head and say, do better. You really need to give them tools to do better, and I'm wondering if you have suggestions for things like the subversion macro that makes it easy for programmers to do a better job. Do you have suggestions for how we could generalize this so that all software could do a better job of logging?
All right, thanks for the comment. Since there's two comments about this, I will elaborate a little bit more. So actually, if you think a little bit deeper about why the program remains those logs, actually there are some philosophical reasons in the software development that when the developers, they are actually developing the software, their first priority is deliver the functionality, is deliver the features, where log message is not part of the feature. So actually, when they are under deadline, they will just largely ignore the log messages. Okay, so that is why perhaps they miss many of these log opportunities. And as you said, because of this, I think program education itself may be not enough. So indeed, we need some tools. Okay, and I think the ideal usage of this tool, Erlog, or our previous log enhancement tools, Log Enhancer, the best usage is to integrate them as a plugin in the IDE. That, for example, you can imagine that in this case, as the programmer's program, we can automate some, recommend them of some places to log. And we can even auto-complete some of them. And just let them fill in the remaining part, such as the text messages. And I believe this won't cost them a whole lot of effort during their development and then hugely improve the situation.
Okay, thank you.